Welkom bij de Diabetesgeneeskunde podcast. We gaan in gesprek met experts om het laatste nieuws van congressen vanuit verschillende perspectieven te belichten. Actueel, relevant en altijd met een vertaling naar de klinische praktijk.
Today we're gonna talk with two PhD students, but beforehand I'll introduce myself. So I'm Philip van Grieken, assistant professor at the Internal Medicine Department in Maastricht University, and I am working on a very special compound, which is named methylglyoxal. And the idea here is that the two PhD students, they are also working with this compound directly or indirectly. And I would like to talk with them and let them talk about the topic they are working on during their PhD and how they are connected. So we're gonna first start maybe with my PhD student, Louisa. Can you maybe introduce yourself and tell a little bit more about this exciting compound?
Yes, thank you very much for the introduction. So my name is Louisa Wensky. I'm a second year PhD student, just started my second year, and I'm working in a team together with Philippe. And my doctoral thesis and my project is focused on this specific compound that was just mentioned, which is called methylglyoxal. It can be produced within our body, but we can also consume it via our diet. And we want to research how it might be involved in cardiovascular complications.
And can you tell a little bit on how you are testing this compound, what kind of models you're using, and what is the idea behind it? Mm-hmm. What's the goal here?
Yes, so we focus mainly on preclinical models. So we use mainly mouse models. And this specific compound is known to be involved in diabetes, but also in conditions like natural aging. So these are also the models that we use for our research. For example, we just completed a study where we used a model of type 1 diabetes. It was wild type mice that were injected with STZ. We also investigate the same in type 2 diabetes. So for that, we use mice that receive a high fat diet. And we also use mice that have either gene mutations to have accelerated vascular aging or just normal and natural aging. So then we buy mice and let them age until they are about 18 months old.
Great. And if we are approaching the other side, just to switch and mingle these topics together, we have Tommy in front of us.
Hi.
And he's going a little bit further away to also investigate a part of this question related to this exciting compound.
Yes.
So can you please tell us what you're going to do and where you're going to go?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Tommy. I'm a bioinformatician at the Amsterdam UMC, and I work with under the supervision of Dr. Norden Hansen. So how we got there is that we look at the gut DM1 cohort. We have about 500 individuals with type 1 diabetes. And we measured their plasma and fecal dicarbonyl levels, so also methylglyoxal. And I'm more interested in the microbiome, and because microbes, they also have the ability to produce and metabolize methylglyoxal. So we're trying to understand if the microbiome has an influence on systemic MGO levels. So what we saw is that their plasma methylglyoxal levels methylglyoxal levels was negatively correlated with time in range. And also their plasma methylglyoxal levels was higher when they had less residual beta cell function. So it's kind of like, it's having more detrimental effects. And from there we're like, okay, maybe if it might have an influence on negative influence on the pancreas. So I'm going to go to Canada in February, hopefully, to also start working on mice as well. So I'm hoping for some assistance from you, please.
And why Canada? What?
I'm going to be working with Professor Bruce Vassier. He's a specialist with Nod mice, and we are planning to put MGO in the mice drinking water to see if the influence on the pancreas. So we've kind of seen correlations now want to dive deeper into causation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. And what would be then the benefit if you can find that causal relationship?
So the first step will be to kind of investigate the causal relationship, but you have also done a lot of work on MGO and things like that, and the B vitamin pyridoxamine. If we see, okay, it has detrimental effects, the next thing is how can we then reduce this for the patients? Yeah. And yeah, building on a lot of your previous research and others as well, if we can reduce the MGO levels,
yeah,
maybe that could be beneficial for patients.
Yes, and is that the same for you, Louisa?
Yes, that's also one of our approaches and our goals. So with our current study, we also try to lower the amounts of endogenous methylglyoxal. But actually, I would not agree that every methylglyoxal from the diet might be negative, because we saw in previous experiments that it might actually have positive effects. So we also supplement mice with different concentrations of methylglyoxal, either pure methylglyoxal, or we also use our food compound for that. And I cannot yet say the results because the study is ongoing, but we think that from the diet, it might have positive effects, maybe also via the microbiome.
Yeah.
And if it's produced endogenously, it seems to be harmful.
Well, this is quite an important question. Mm-hmm. Why do we see this hormetic effect where at low doses you see beneficial effects and high doses you kind of see detrimental effects? What do you think?
I think it depends a lot. For example, if you supplement methylglyoxal in the diet and then measure plasma and urine, if you actually can find back the methylglyoxal increases also in plasma, because one of the studies that Philippe did is very high MGO in the drinking water, and then you could see a twofold increase in the plasma where it seemed to have negative effects then. But if it's only a low dose, then it was positive. So, and it couldn't be found in plasma in the study with the low methylglyoxal supplementation.
That's, I think, also an interesting point where you two projects can really boost each other, or at least help to find the answer in a way where supplementation of MGO and how it ends up in the system can be potentially mediated by the microbiome. So I think at the end of your PhD studies, maybe we are a big step closer to this answer, how MGO formed within the body is detrimental, and how MGO introduced into the body via the diet can have beneficial effects. So I'm very excited to see the results.
Definitely.
Okay.